Good morrow. This is Daryl War for the June 2021 podcast. Not sure what I can help y'all with, but I'm going to try, considering the very degraded mental capacities that have been taking over within the last decade or so. And if anyone noticed, yes, DS Annotations by Slave of a Vampire, Sarah Monster are back up because... Back before I got the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow started as an audio show, I found a way to record the videos so that I would have them, because I didn't want to lose them, because I noticed certain ones would go missing, and then I noticed they wouldn't go missing, and then I finally just gathered them all the best that I could, and I guess it was good enough. Years later, I let Sarah Monster know by email and asked if she wanted copies, and... We exchanged mailing addresses, and I sent her the files. And then I guess within 2021, she figured out how to re-upload them, because I guess Melissa says that she told me that the comments were gone, and I knew the comments were gone, meaning, you know, if you want to say anything underneath the YouTube video, that was gone. I knew that from years and years ago. But what I guess she meant to say was that the captions had been removed, and the captions are where the MST3K-style jokes are. And I had noticed that because I had tried to get the shows, and the captions were something that were a YouTube function. And so I had not known until Sarah Monster got in touch with me, the captions had been removed. It was the jokes that were also gone. But back in 2013, I managed to grab as much as I could with some sort of program that I had at the time. So I never worried about that. I'd even turn on some of the annotations just because I knew all I needed was... Short listen of one character or another character, one actor or another talking. And that was the easiest way to do it sometimes when I would gear up for a pit performance, because it was quick and all that. So yeah, they, for the time being, are back up. And yeah, those are the recordings I made in 2013 before I got the audio show started for this. I kind of doubt anybody is considering that a contribution from me. They probably are just so... hotwired for hate speak that's all they can do in terms of responding to me. And you see that a lot. And that was one of the reasons that I knew there was a problem, because people couldn't discuss narrative reasonably anymore. Or it was at least going downhill when I got started. So good cheer on that. I just didn't want all that stuff to get lost. But yeah, I'm sure that it's... Not dawning on anyone, maybe briefly, and then the realization just fizzles away and becomes empty. It's probably not really dawning on a whole lot of people that, yeah, that was a contribution, and I wanted her to have them if anything happened, if something happened, and then they're back up. And what was really nice is that if you look at the playlist, at the front of the playlist, she does give me credit for that, and she points out the narrative URL for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows on WordPress as a reference to who was involved in saving DS Annotations. And then it was really funny, because as I was watching, I noticed, oh, you left the comments on, and she's like, yeah, no, they've all been pretty good, you know, meaning not the captions, because those are already there, but the comments, for so people can talk a little bit on YouTube. She said everyone has been pretty nice so far, so... She's not disabling them, because back in, several years ago, I noticed that the comments were disabled, because people were just getting nasty. And I'd asked her, my husband thought she probably disabled the comments so she just wouldn't have to deal with all these people talking trash and complaining. So I asked, you know, my husband thought that you had disabled the comments originally, because just everybody was just getting so nasty. And she basically told me, egad, yes. Why can't, you know, the instructions are there. I put under each video that you can turn the captions off, and they just don't seem to be able to understand the instructions. Yep. There you go. So my husband had it. And the newer version created by the recordings that I made, she calls it the Back from the Dead edition, which I did make a link to on my regular WordPress site, and also in an entry, and also on the Podomatic favorite links. So I got all jazzed just to see them again on YouTube. And then my husband said, oh, now I got to watch. And I'm like, honey, we got those on a drive. You don't have to, you don't have to use up the Wi-Fi to watch those. And then I showed him how. So yeah, that was good. It was good to be in touch with her again as well. You know, like I said, I really didn't know that the captions were gone, because what Melissa told me is that the comments were gone, and I already knew the comments were gone. So what she meant to say is the captions had been removed, and so now they're back. And you really do want to be in Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan to understand where she was coming from with those jokes. It's not meant to be a monkey see, monkey do thing. It's meant to understand that you're watching a kind of hokey, cheesy show, like Joel and the Bots or Mike and the Bots were forced to do by mad scientists. It's not something where, if it's of your own free will, you have no reason to complain. You can turn it off. Whereas on Mystery Science Theater 3000, the characters didn't have any choice. They were coerced into watching these things. And that design makes a huge difference. Now for the grassroots team in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, I'm getting close to finishing 23. The main thing that is become difficult is sound effects for Roger sliding down the stairs at the end. Otherwise, a lot of it's done. It looks like there's only 9 scenes. Usually I'm pretty average 11, 12-ish. So I was surprised that there were 9 scenes, but there's just a lot of dark shadows within episode 23. I don't know if there's really much of any other characters other than maybe Wadsworth, if I can recall. Paying so much attention to all this extracurricular stuff that it's really hard to, for me, to focus on the narrative too. Just very disappointing, of course. Then there is In Darkness, chapter 11 by Oshin Navoy, that's been out for a while, which, as Gerard escapes back in time, there's actually quite a bit of journey there, and then eventually comes face to face with Letitia, who is looking inexpressibly good to him. And of course, there is some dallying in the fade to black descriptions, so you won't be going for an M rating there, but it's pretty close. And Gerard is just trying to figure out how to deal with the present he left and where he is precisely in that. Oh, and another thing that was really nice is recently Helena found the drabble. I guess she didn't know that it was there. I had talked about it in the April show for Hoffman and Stokes, and she actually had some very kind words for it. And I said, I just thought you hadn't reviewed it because you didn't care for it. Well, now she just was like, oh, I didn't know this was here. So she had reviewed, I'm sitting here at my desk at work bored by my labor and finally came across this drabble. Don't tell anyone, tee. I can't recall if you mentioned this to me. You most likely did, but I forgot. And now I read it. This was sweet. Elliot, please drink something for your love-struck nerves, but don't spill it on your students' papers. Big happy face. That was really nice. And it gave me the nerve to go and reread, and I'm like, you know what, that's not that bad. Too much reincarnation, too much mentioning of Natalie Dupre, but yeah, that's not bad. Because, yeah, I just, slim pickings for Hoffman and Stokes. And the funny thing about that, even as Helena didn't quite pick up until episode 14 of The Pit, that Elliot was interested in Julia. And I was like, well, I had all these scenes with them together, and I told a pen pal last year, I said, the funny thing about all this, you know, non-canon Julia Barnabas stuff is, you know, I'm doing Hoffman Stokes, and he was the only character I saw as having any interest in Dr. Hoffman in that way. Any kind of romantic interest like that. He was the only other character that I saw on the show. And then it was wild when I got to know Lisa, because she was saying she was getting Hoffman and Stokes in her work. And I was like, oh, good. I can't remember if she also noticed, yeah, there doesn't seem to be anybody else who is interested in Julia in that way. So I guess that's why years ago somebody said, oh yeah, they just paired her up with everyone in the fan work and you know, a lot of original characters and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, yeah. And for the continuing pen friends that I've made in the last, golly, 4 or 5 years, oof, yeah. What a blessing, and, you know, hopefully they'll maintain book reading ability and conversation, and, yeah, neat postage stamp updates. I've been getting some stuff from USPS.com, or the Philatelic magazine, whichever one prefers. Got really excited over the, espresso drinks postage stamps, and got some of those, and the new barn postcard stamps, because I was getting kind of tired of the cartoon sea life. So those are a nice switch. And the neat little bunny second ounce stamp. That's nice. Oh, and the new butterfly. That's kind of bluish, as I recall, for the 2-ouncer or the square envelope one. as well as the spooky silhouette stamps. They had some tote bags, and I got 5 of those, and I've sent one to my phone friend, May. I believe she said it was okay for me to finally say a name for her, and she's enjoying that, and I think another pen pal wants one. I'm not sure about that, but I'll probably send her one, just because 5 is a bit much. I don't really, you know, need more than 1 or 2. But they're pretty neat. There's these tote bags that have the spooky silhouette stamp designs on them. As well as some of the cards. They're pretty sturdy. There's just the greeting cards, blank greeting cards, and they come with, depending on the theme, they come with matching postage stamps. I got the Love ones and also Flowers of the Garden, just because I hadn't had any Flower of the Garden stamps for a while, and also I like the design, and got those. And yeah, stamps come with the purchase of the cards, which are pretty comparable to just dollar greeting cards. Minus that you're also paying for stamps, which you need anyway. So, yeah, for the sturdiness, the value is quite good. My husband saw in the Philatelic magazine, I showed it to him, the Sun Science postage stamps. He's looking forward to those. So there's some neat stuff on the order of pen pals. Oh, and hopefully by the time that I release this show that I'm making right now, Helena will have gotten her chocolates that I just sent her. Some really awesome, from England. I could not believe the price on these things, considering how far they came from. And also, when I went to the company site for them in the UK, I was like, these are really, it would be really expensive if I just bought one box to order. So wherever we bought them, which was a tea parlor, must have just stored up a truckload or something to get a discount to be able to send them for that cheap. So hopefully Helena has enjoyed her chocolates. Eat them slowly. And a big reason I wanted to make another Bloody Blah update is that I found alternatives. I talked about them, I believe, May of 2019, but I wasn't really ready to do anything more thorough because I was still taking care of myself, you know, the whole self-care thing. But I suggest to do what I have done, which is go to your search engine of choice. A couple good ones I found were Startpage and DuckDuckGo. Which is funny because I think somebody found me through DuckDuckGo on WordPress, and I was like, what's that? Oh, there was also one about planting trees, but I can't remember what it was called. Ecosia, I think. And I can't remember whether that was a .org or a .com. But anyway, doesn't always have to be Google. You don't need to be subservient to them if you can possibly escape or avoid it. So through your search engine of choice, I would say type in quotations, 2 words, online diary. Because that's what I did. And I found quite a few choices. Because people always say, well, I've got to use these big companies. Because everybody else is, well, if you want to break that cycle, start using something else. And the other reason to get involved in some of this is just to keep record of yourself for yourself. So one of the first choices that comes up, I have not tried this product, is penzu.com. Your private, 100% customizable online journal loved by over 2 million writers around the world. Now, I'm not sure if that's true, but it looks not bad. And I know a lot of these things tend to lean towards people with smartphones, but it does look like they've got the choice of some sort of desktop computer or laptop for the availability. But some of them don't. So the first one I found was penzu.com. Next on the list that I got is my-diary.org, and I'm not going to go into this one too much because it's got those big biz name brand logos on it, like login with Facebook, and there's a Twitter one, and presumably a Pinterest, and whatever, LinkedIn, yeah, they're just too big, so I just find that kind of stuff untrustworthy. I mean, it makes it easy if you want to sign up. Oh, there's also login with Google, of course, there's another big biz name, and yeah, so you can try my-diary.org if you like. I am moving on because I just find connections with those big businesses untrustworthy. Considering what I've seen this last decade, I don't think you can blame me. The next is opendiary.com. Write the story of your life, share your true self, find support in our community. And with the examples on the front page, it looks like they have something that appears to be a like button, but it actually is a save button. And I appreciate that because if somebody gets that kind of compulsion to, you know, click those things, like you're just going to be saving everything you touch. That'll be whatever you saved. I mean, where the heck are you going to go through it? Yeah, a save button might actually help break the like button habit. So, I'm not sure if this is. Oh gosh. Where is the explanation? Okay, it just keeps on going and going. Yeah, let's just go on forever. I can't get to the deal. Well, I would tell you more, but the thing is, I keep scrolling and scrolling to try to get to the bottom to look at a possible FAQ, and I just keep getting more journal entry. So that's about as much as I can give you for open diary there. I apologize about that. I was able to get further a day or two ago to get more information about the site itself, or app, or whatever the heck you want to call it. To me, it's all websites. And then there's a journey.cloud. I'm not sure how off the map this is. It looks like there's a little bit of, yeah, there is like a little bit of interaction with the big biz for, get it on Google Play and blah blah blah, and you might want to avoid that. But if you don't, then there is journey.cloud, which looks like they've got some applications for things like fitness and mood chart and that kind of thing. Okay, so they're into self-care, which looks pretty good. And then, oh yeah, this one kind of tickled me because it's monkey.com, MONKKEE, which is pretty close to the monkeys, as you know that I have an on again, off again interest in the monkeys from the 60s. But this is different. It's got more than one K. So it's got like the two E's, but more than one K. So it's monkey.com. Keep a private and free online diary. Secure and encrypted. Sign up, it's free. Features and the security and all that good stuff. They got a couple of the big biz icons at the bottom of the page. So, yeah, like I say, I'm always a little bit like, And I know why people do it, because they feel like, well, I'll get more access to more people if I play with the big guys. And I understand. It's just that I'm trying to find alternatives where you don't have to engage, Like, everybody always goes, well, not everybody, but a lot of people always go, well, it's your choice. And it's like, no, it's not your choice, because the groupthink is just pushing everyone in these directions, and it's also about competition. So, and they're playing dirty to where you think it's your choice, but you're just hypnotized to make that choice. It's ridiculous. All right. Oh, Good Night Journal. Let's look at that one. I remember having a little bit of a. What is that? What is that? I can reach their FAQ! So, yeah, they are free initially, but if you want additional features, become a member, which presumably is an ongoing fee that probably isn't too expensive. I don't know. And that's why I'm telling you this, because I want you to investigate it. I want you guys to kind of wake up a little bit. And yeah, a lot of these sites and these choices remind me of something that I had talked to Sarah Monster about. I'm not sure if she's read it yet. I'm not sure if she's going to read it. We've just been in a little email contact lately. There were all these articles I was telling her. There's all these articles telling people over the last 5 or so years to choose carefully and go slow on social media. Like, really think about it. Like, well, the big companies are designed to get people to post without being careful and without thinking it through. Whereas some of these other sites, that forces us to go slow and really think, and the image sharing is a little invested, that kind of thing. You really do have to think, because you're not getting the friction that you would need to go slowly as a human being. We are not all commander data. None of us are commander data. Maybe there is one person out there that is just like Brent Spiner's character somehow, but no. The only person who could do some of these things that we're expected to do is Lieutenant Commander Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation. And no, we're just not built for that. No. That's why everybody was like, ooh, Data. So, goodnightjournal.com is one of the choices out there. I don't see any big biz badges on them. Oh, wait, no, there is a little bit just through app stores, that kind of thing. So there are a couple of the big biz guys. Oh gosh, yeah, membership, $39.99 a year or $4.99 a month. So that, but I think it's initially free if you want more features. And a lot of the freebies are really just as well. And of course, I should point out you could get a notebook and some pencils and pens if you just don't even want to do any of this. I highly encourage paper and pen and or pencil. Because, yeah, then it's like, unless somebody rifles through your stuff, which everybody's terrified of each other, so that's not very likely right now. Just good old pen and paper. Plus, considering the mental capacity of a lot of people now, if they looked through what you're writing, they probably wouldn't understand half of it. Maybe not even one word. This is interesting. Lugello or Lugello, LUGELO.com. Golly, yeah, and then it gets to the point where they say what browsers you should use. Okay, understandable. Check that out if you're interested. What else is on the list here? Well, here's something I did not get. Prosebox.net, PROSEBOX.NET. Yeah, it also, doesn't look like there are any like buttons. Yeah, there's a little contact between Fartbook and Twitland. You know, I guess just to, do that. But the logos, I don't see the logos on Prosebox, so I appreciate that because I know a lot of people are just in touch with those big guys because they feel they have to be. Ah, here we go. Prosebox is a social community for keeping journals and other writing. It is a place where members can anonymously share and connect with others. Very nice. Wow. Oh, I do see the logos. Very tiny on the bottom. Yeah, I kind of appreciate that they're not big. It's like, yeah, we gotta put those on there, but yeah. So it's not like celebrating, ooh, we're part of, we're connected to the big guys or the big biz. They just kind of like say it very subtly in one little corner at the bottom. Very nice. Oh. I don't know about that one. Oh, there were so many more that I found the other day. So, yeah, that's why I say, your search engine of choice and look up online diary or quote online journal, unquote. It's kind of important to put those quotes in there just for the sake that it'll keep those two words together where you won't just get all this extra stuff that maybe has one word that, like, they're not together. That's why the quotes are important for using a search engine. Oh. And believe you me, I have not searched my name in some time because I was getting pretty disturbed by what I was seeing. I was like, you can get in touch with me anytime. There's no need to go lambasting whoever I am and all of the. Yeah, it's just, forget it. I don't need that. It's not helpful. I don't need to get even more outraged than what everybody's programmed to become just to make money by these people. It's, and I saw that in the 20th century too. I didn't know what it was. It was terrifying. I thought, people really had a handle on their own personal thoughts and feelings and where they get information. But ever since I took the course in Your Undivided Attention podcasts, I started to realize, my gosh, so all this attention getting through these sites is extremely similar to what I experienced with all the news and all the hype in the 20th century. And I couldn't get anyone to understand that. It's like, hey, just stop talking because I can't do anything. Well, it's so important. Well, why don't you do anything? Finally said that to one person who was just all hype addicted to this stuff and would not stop talking about whatever was going on with the news that was tragic or especially the big boom boom stuff like world affairs. And so I said, all right, why didn't you do something about it? Other than talking about it. And the response was, I guess I'm just too lazy. See? So it took a long time because I mean, it gave me a lot of anxiety, lots and lots of anxiety for years and years because I just didn't understand how everything worked. So yeah, there is actually a lot of anxiety that has dropped away since I listened to most of the podcasts for Your Undivided Attention. Just understanding how all this stuff is designed and how it works, and how so many people who get wrapped up in the hype anyway, especially in the 20th century, as soon as they had dropped everything on you in conversation, they just talk about some other trivial thing, like some movie or show or some game or some restaurant or some album. It just goes away. It just was so like, oh, so all that stuff that you were all excited about was really that important to you that you just switch gears all of a sudden. And okay. So that was the version that I got in the 20th century. And I've learned that, yeah, if nobody wants to solve the problem, then the people don't really care about these topics. It is just a hype market and designed to scare you and make you angry and all riled up and get your attention and sell more advertising. Which, even in the first episode, what did I say? I think one of the problems is all the advertising. The first episode. I didn't know how dead on I had it. Golly, 2013, I said that. Yeah, when they goddess with dangling all our loved ones who don't really care anymore. That, oof, yeah, that is just, that's really playing dirty. And what pen pals have said very sadly to me, at least a handful, as we've all watched our friends disappear into these online quote-unquote communication zones, people that we spent 10 years or more with, getting to know, close friendships, having fun with, having, you know, headbutting here and there too. And what I get asked is, was it all a lie? Well, these friendships that I had, then did they just stop caring? Or did they never really care to begin with? They're very sad, these letters and questions that I receive over the years. And I can't remember if I've been able to answer that, but I think I'd like to answer it now. They did care, the friends that we've lost over the years. They did care, they just stopped caring. It's not that they never cared, it's that they got taken over by a lot of this stuff that was just too strong. And it's brand new, considering the wealth of human history. This is brand new, strong, unregulated stuff. And yeah, so they used to care, but this stuff is so strong, they're incapable of caring. And losing your autonomous ability to pick up the phone and dial a memorized phone number, because we were all so close and we didn't rely on these extra tools, we memorized phone numbers, and I've managed to memorize a few again. So, yeah, they did used to care, but we didn't really realize how protected we were with the building of skills and capabilities. As bad as my public schools were, I am really grateful that I have learned what I have just a little bit. I always remember kindergarten being great because there was just a list of stuff that they wanted you to memorize as a little kid, you know, your address and your own phone number and how to spell your name and these little things when you're 5 or 6 years old that really they knew were important. And continuing on from there, yeah, a lot of problems, but yeah, we just didn't know how protected we were, even though, and it has been pointed out to me, and I agree, television was pretty rough. Somebody recently wrote to me in a letter that one of the authors, I think it was Ray Bradbury, noticed how all this zombification was coming with television, and I can vouch for that because, you know, when some of you guys get all up in arms about all these abilities to take care of myself that I don't have, well, guess what? I was surrounded with people who only knew how to nag and didn't know how to teach. So there you go. I mean, you don't nag someone and think they're magically going to learn how to drive. I mean, I even got that in the last 5 or so years. Somebody saying, oh, well, you just got to try. They think you got to encourage. It's like, no, let me put this another way. Think of this in another way. You can't just kind of politely nag me, oh, you just need the confidence to learn how to drive. It doesn't magically happen that way. Pretend I don't know how to read. Pretend I don't know how to read. Now you're going to have to think about that. Can you teach this person who doesn't know how to read how to read? You can't just sit there urging them verbally. Oh, you can do it. That's not going to do anything. It's not going to do a diddly. So yeah. The answer is, think of these things in problem-solving ideas and practices. You can't just urge and encourage and magically it'll happen. A rare occasion, somehow, it helps a little bit, a few people, but overall, no. And nagging and complaining and then deciding that the next episode of such and such is more important than what you were just talking about, yeah. Being raised in that was a zombification. And that's why when I saw all this stuff going down on the internet where everybody was just losing all the glory that we'd gained, I was gonna do something about it. Because I sure as hell did not want to live in that world, and I do not want to live in that world. And so, I want to talk about a few online journal suggestions that I found. I just kept thinking, we need the old systems. I need old systems with no like buttons. So, I looked over at LiveJournal, and I saw they had like buttons. Years ago. It was probably 2017, early 2017. And I was just getting so frustrated. And then somewhere on LiveJournal, someone had posted that they were also on DreamWidth. And I was like, what's that? And I went over to look, and I told Hidden Object very quickly, I think I found the promised land. And it sort of is, was, or was, is. But because the big tech guys have just gotten so enmeshed in everybody's lives, there's still those problems. I think one of the best things, I was so happy, somebody had posted how they were just getting away from Tumblr. I was so like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because they just noticed and had other people agreeing, like, how diseased it had gotten. I was like, I've deleted that account and got rid of everything and just posted one last post and just left it behind because I'm like, yeah, I'm too traumatized by Tumblr. I know various other companies have come in and done what they could to clean it up and make it safer. But oof, yeah, that was... When people talk about, you know, abuse, finding out the little kids that are on that thing and all the hardcore porn that I saw without looking for it. I did not look for that stuff. It was just someone would follow your account and then you go to look and you're seeing hardcore porn. You're not asking for it. And I'm like, psh, you want to talk about, you know, damage to children? There you go. You know, and so hopefully Automattic has cleaned that up. You know, I don't know. Because, yeah, I got bought out a number of years ago. When I saw that, I'm like, you know what? It is time to leave anyway. Just download everything. Just swipe it clean. And that's the end of that. So, yeah, I have no plans ever, ever to go back to Tumblr. No matter how clean or nice it is, I'm just too traumatized by it. It's like, no. Like a bad neighborhood that got cleaned up. You just don't want to go back. You just feel the tension when you do go. So, yeah, DreamWidth. Let's talk about that. It was amazing, and I wanted to be so careful, and I have tried. It took some time. I got started in February of 2017, and it's been helping a lot, even though it did show me that folks were still kind of going downhill. What was scary was seeing how much cross-posting is going on. I was like, why do people feel compelled to go to the big business guys when we have this small business guy right here? But then, you know, you feel like, well, you won't reach everyone unless you cross-post every last thing in the world. Anyway, DreamWidth, it's DreamWidth.org. Dream as in sleeping, width as in wide. And my friendster, I'll call her that, you know, she's the one who years ago gave me a VHS of Night of Dark Shadows from a garage sale. And I was on the phone with her not too long ago, and she was all, yeah, I'm interested in these other sites. And she wasn't able to repeat DreamWidth because it is a little bit of a tongue twister. And so I learned through that conversation to say dream as in sleeping, width as in wide. One word. And it's a .org. Yeah, I was careful. I remember going through a lot of the instruction manuals, a lot of the FAQs. And there were vague ideas of putting in something like a like button, but so far so good. They have not done that, and since they're user-funded, they could probably see how a lot of the users would not really want something like that. But if they ever do it, I suggest making an option where you can take it off, like at WordPress. And it's funny, because WordPress itself is kind of a hybrid. You can use it for free, but they really, really, really want you to pay. And, you know, they're just throwing coupons at you all the time. So, going back to DreamWidth, I have been very impressed, although, being who I am, yeah, the gossip had already started, the hate speak for rewards had already started. I've said it to a lot of pen friends, either over the phone or on paper. If I were told in 2005 that an overweight housewife in her mid-40s, doing volunteer work and fan fiction for free, would somehow become a holy terror. If you had told me that in 2005, I would have howled with laughter. It was just not something that was even imaginable. And that was not that long ago. But yeah. So with my DreamWidth account, I actually updated a little bit of my profile because I'd gotten the distinct impression that even trying to make friends there, I'd become so infamous that there were people getting nervous or just assumptive or off, you know, thanks to the big biz sites, getting everybody all hyped up, going to look for the worst. So originally I had started it kind of with, yep, it's me, Yell DW, the other one. And then I put in parentheses recently, although I am tempted to start going by the boogeyman, since people behave as if that is who I am when I'm amidst them. And not just over here, everywhere and even face to face, let's just get treated like, ooh, the boogeyman. Because of just all the hype and confusion and whatever people are hypnotized by online, which would have been happy to do all this as a pen pal thing. I've said that before. Also, one of the things I added, which I really liked, is
If you go around looking for me being cuckoo and blowing gaskets, yep, it'll be there. A good lesson from this is that when one gets led up the garden path, unquote, with persistent assurance it will all be great, or it'll work out, while it only marginally does, and one keeps running into bramble, sticky weeds, and poisonous plants on this garden path, yes, this person will indeed go very, very cuckoo. So don't do that to people. And that is the fact check on me. You know, when you go from the beginning, it's all like, well, this will work out because all this other stuff didn't. And I couldn't have known what was going on with everyone. I had to take a lot of time to learn what was going on with everyone and be not even knee-deep in it, pretty much neck-deep in it, to see just how people were not behaving the same way that they were before. But yeah, when you rope another person who has the best intentions into that, well, you know, there's been a lot of cases where people are using the big biz social media and just going either as crazy or more crazy than me. Which, to me, is a big red flag of, stop using it. And then they make it very difficult for that to stop using it. And that's why a lot of dominance villains disinterest me. Because what's the point? When you have it all, okay, now what are you going to do with it? Nothing good. Oh no, there's like a handful of marginally good things, which convinces everyone that it's good as a whole. Which is bullcrap. Little bits and little good things. I award the people behind them for that, not the companies. The companies are the ones I'm blaming for the bad stuff, because yeah, if you infuse all this hype into, you're not going to get anything good. We've been watching that for ages. And the diversity statement I am really more recently impressed by, I'm sure I've read it before, but one part that stood out, and another reason I wanted to make this show for A Dream With, in their diversity statement, we think our technical and business experience is important, but we think our community experience is more important. We know what goes wrong when companies say one thing and do another, or when they refuse to say anything at all. We believe that keeping our operations transparent is just as important as keeping our servers stable. We use the service we're selling, and we built it because we wanted it ourselves. We won't treat people as second-class undesirables because they're non-mainstream and might frighten advertisers. We don't have advertisers to frighten. To us, you're not eyeballs. You're not page views. You're not demographic groups. You're people. I love it. It's just, oh my gosh, yeah, it seemed too good to be true, so I was like, hold out for a while. They might get a like button, and so far there isn't one. It's interesting, too, because they do seem to be related, if not the same, as Archive of Our Own, which does have the kudos, which I've blown gaskets about. I would apologize, except that having seen what the like button has been capable of in this last decade, yeah, it's not really excusable. Might be these, like I said, little niche positives, but they do not outweigh the negatives at all. And with the kudos button, the big deal is just the compulsion that you can't digest a narrative and talk about it. You have to click a box, and that's all you do. And a lot of your autonomy is just gone with that. And I'm sure they implemented that at AO3 without realizing that was what was happening. But again, you know, I think the best option would be to create it so that there is a choice. And then you can look between the people who say no to the people who say yes and see the levels of coherent conversation that happens as a result. That's all I can suggest. Because I've seen and heard a lot of people, I like the like button. Well, do you like what it does at the end of the day? Well, I don't think so. Just to get trapped in that. I'd say it's worse than channel surfing, really. You waste a lot of time channel surfing, at least my memory of channel surfing. Usually I would find something that I could want to watch, and if I didn't, I'd turn on a VHS. I wouldn't just sit there and surf all night. I do the same thing now. It's like, well, if I can't listen to something streaming, I've got copies of stuff, and I'll just turn one of those on. But anyway, yeah, I am very happy after, oh gosh, I guess about 4 years on DreamWidth, I think, maybe three. Yeah, I think it's four. But then I became a paid member because I was like, okay, I don't see any kind of instant gratification button being created. I think there was something in somewhere I read where they were thinking about it, but that was years ago, years before I knew about it. I'm happy using it and happy paying a yearly fee when I can afford it. And also through that, I found out about Insane Journal, which also looked pretty good. And I think with them, it's like a one-time fee. So yeah, insanejournal.com is a simple yet very customizable online diary. It is built on open source software from Danga Interactive. Allows you to keep in touch with all of your friends. You can create public accounts called asylums. See, they're playing with the insane word. And yeah, allows many people to post about a common subject. We're trying to start a new fund to remove ads from the site permanently. If you would like to join this campaign, click the Patreon button below. I have a little updates and stuff. And yeah, I don't really see any big biz badges on this one either, which I think is the point. Because years ago, I mean, even as I realized I had to go back to pen friends on paper just to get away from all the nonsense that was so distracting, I was like, what about things like Diaryland and LiveJournal, the things that we used to have? And I go to LiveJournal and I see that it's just as jacked up as the big biz sites because they got the like buttons and then either more stuff that I don't even want to get into, seriously. I do not want to get into that subject. So, yeah, I'm just looking for the alternatives, as per most of my life. Trying to find the answers to things. Well, most of the people you talk to are just maneuvering you into distractible directions and then claiming that, oh, everything's fine. You're just like, I'm insanely unhappy. So, just trying to get away from the madness. Even my Dreamwidth journal is subtitled Sheltering from the Madness, because I really have been in using it. Unintentionally scaring the crap out of people by saying hello. Because, yeah, they're not going to go to the source. Which, actually, Snopes.com, I was looking into them, and I was really impressed with Snopes.com. Not a journaling site, but just a fact-checking site that we've been relying on since we started using the internet. Auntie's a big fan of it, too, and I was looking at their page about how they do fact-checking, and at the top of the list, or the form, or the paragraphs, was, when we can, we go to the source. I was like, thank you. That's what I, just driving me nuts. Oh, it's going to be interactive, people are going to talk to you, and then when they don't, everybody just makes up excuses why that's okay. Okay, so you don't want to go to the source, you want to just gossip about Daryl Ward? Who's putting her heart out into all this stuff and getting distracted into all the garbage that everybody else has, or most of the other people have. It's like, you know, I'm done. I do not want any part of this. And, or as a lot of the old tech guys and girls say, this is not what I signed up for. And then they have misgivings about even going into work to some of those bigger commercial sites, just because trying to handle what is going on and their responsibility to it while making money is, yeah. A lot of people eventually just resign. So anyway, those are the alternatives, and I think that is about it. And hopefully we'll diminish some of the damage I did by, in 2015, I think it was, I'm not sure, promoting Pinterest. Somebody thanked me for that, and I said I regret ever having suggested that option. Pal Talk, not so much. It's just that I couldn't use it anymore because I became the boogeyman over there, too. It just got too infamous. And then people just got all quiet around me, so I said, forget it. Especially when I saw the new application and how it was designed, I'm like, never mind. And I think I did mention Meetup, and I would still support them. Yeah, Meetup.com. That's for people wanting to do real stuff in real life, and they seem to be struggling and trying to come up with ideas of how to keep people going. Oh, yeah. Before I sign off here, there's something I built on Dreamwidth. I asked a few Barnabas and Maggie fans what they thought, and I wanted to make it inclusive that it's Dark Shadows based, but focusing on the main romance, which is Barnabas and Josette, whether it is the original, or 91 Revival, or 2004 Pilot, and maybe House of Dark Shadows 2, even though it's a horror movie over a romance, even though we tend to get romantic about some of the images that come from it, and the 2012 film, just to focus on the potential of inclusivity. And my husband really liked one of the things that I had put in the outgoing message about it, as well as the profile for the community on Dreamwidth. And that part was, other than being a fan of the film and knowing other fans of it, I would like this to be included for the sake fans of the film are also ostracized in a very similar fashion to fans of the romance as a whole. Also, a great deal of the hatred for it is manufactured, and the answer to outrage is being reasonable. But what my husband particularly liked was my parentheses, These are entertainment products, not holy writs. Products of leisure, not legislature. And somewhere in there I also say, love at first bite jokes, welcome. So it is a Barnabas and Josette group for the sake of that repeating pattern and for inclusivity. Also laying all the variants of that community in the description. But all aspects of the productions would be good to discuss and be able to discuss. All right. So that is about all I can offer. The unfortunate thing is I won't be on the other side of the screen to teach you how to use these tools. There are so many skills that have atrophied over the years with a lot of people, and I am not sure where the memory of having those skills has been buried, because a lot of the people that I watch go downhill, they used to be able to write emails, they used to be able to make phone calls, and that seems to have just been wiped out in a lot of cases, as well as the ability to choose for oneself. There is the idea that you are choosing for yourself, but if notifications are popping up at you to distract you and you choose them because they are, that's not you out looking for it. That's somebody looking for you and getting you. And also, I do occasionally dabble into my DS 2012 movie sequel, Rebuilding Collinwood, on fanfiction.net. Against my better judgment, I put a little bit of it over on AO3. With a bit of a, hey, don't do that, meaning the kudos button. Hopefully it has been encouraging. I'm just kind of following my nose. Actually, yeah, one fellow was excited to see a potential sequel up and going. It was a guest review, so you don't know what else to do other than respond review over at ff.net. So I said, hopefully you'll see this. So I respond reviewed just to try and talk. Don't know how else to get in touch. Glad to see someone who is interested and coherently saying so. Rough decade, this last one, eh? Yes, there was an old house in the original series, because I think they touched on that topic, as well as in the House of Dark Shadows film, which is the old house I'm imagining for this one, meaning this sequel that I'm imagining. Buzz Hackett's character is also original series. I realized 2012 movie Carolyn was too young for a Toni Petersson character, original series, so I figured a Buzz character could be her age. And a ton of us love Buzz from the series anyway. He wasn't on it for very long. I used to recommend the original series a lot, but am far more wary to these days considering the results I've seen from viewers. Scarier than the show itself. So having just movie fans is great. No need to have kids getting hostilities at them from old fans of the show for things they never lived through. My goodness. I also didn't live in the 1960s, so I wouldn't know either. One wonderful thing I am learning is that Laura's ghost character would naturally be accepted as one of the family since she had been denied to exist and then saves the day in the flick. Big favorite scene for me. So we lose Uncle Roger, but we gain an Aunt Laura for a sequel, which is fun. I post when inspired and am never sure when that will be. Thanks for speaking up. And I am. I'm very grateful for that. It was really nice to see. I always wonder if it was maybe because I was looking into a little bit of users of the 2012 film who had been using DreamWidth ages ago. And it just, oh, I was like, oh, look at how they were really enjoying this and the ideas that went into it, even if they didn't know the original show. And, it made me glad and it made me sad, just because, you know, I've seen the hostilities at the kids for that, and I feel for them, because it's very silly to get angry about entertainment. So, yeah, and I broached that idea with other fans of Barnabas Maggie, and a couple of them spoke up, yeah, I would be fine with the inclusivity. That might be a good idea. And also just because, you know, it seems like the hostility toward the romance, it's like my husband said, you know, if you hate the main romance, why are you watching it? Maybe it's just a story that is not for you. And yeah, I am, like I said, happy to go back to my little corner. If there's gossip about me, I'd say you're wasting your time. And that was the point. All this distraction and the making of money by getting your attention. It was to waste your time and make money for someone else. And if I'd known that going in, maybe I could have done more. But at least I'm doing this, so hopefully you will look into the alternatives that I have been talking about. And maybe a few folks will get better. You want to get in touch with me? My email address is xoi scythe at hotmail.com. Y'all stay safe and take care.